はい、じゃあ祈ります。天の父様、今日の御言葉を祝福してください。この22年のクリスマス礼拝にどうか神様は私たちに出会ってください。あなたの約束はどの世代にも有効です。どうか私この時代でも神様、あなたの御救いを見せてください。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。はい、では今日はなんか大変の一年の終わりに迎えました。無事にではない人もいますけど、神様に守られています。ちょっと考えると、今年はよく旅行している人たちは行けなくなりました。私たちも旅行する旅する予定あったけど、みんなキャンセルして、ある人はそれでイライラしています。ある人は怒っています。ある人はがっかりしています。ある人たちはそのために仕事がなくなっています。大変ですよね、今年。1年前と比べたらなんかその時の中国人が大勢日本に来て、すごい経済的にブームになってた。もうちょっとしたらオリンピックがあるけど、突然それがなくなって、どうなるか分からない状態に今年にはなってます。本当にね、旅行、政治も今年は大変なこといっぱいあって、工業、産業、医学、全部変わりました、突然。で、私たちは今よくどうなるか、中国はアジアにどの影響を与えるか、ロシアはどの影響を与えるか、アメリカはどうなるか心配するでしょう。イギリスもとヨーロッパの仲悪いとか、関係が難しくなる、ややこしくなる。今オーストラリアは突然中国の敵とされているから、経済的には突然大変になった。本当に大変ですね、今年。ですけど、私たちはもう何も保証できないけど、ちょうど今日の話は、一応クリスマスの話ですけど、そのような時代にイエス様が来た。そのような状態でイエス様がこのように入ってきた。私たちの今の世が悩んでいるちょうどその状態に神様は答えて、その解決、その救い主を与えました。で、今日は2つの予言を見たいと思います。1つはイザヤ書にあります。で、もう1つはミカ、クリスマスの予言ですけど、その2つを見て、その時代にどんな意味をしていたか、イエス様の時代にどんな意味をしているか、そして私たちの時代にどの意味をしているかを一緒に考えたいと思います。最初はイザヤ7章見てください。イザヤは紀元前600年ぐらいに住んでいたんですけど、その時の世界と今の世界はそんなに変わってないですよね。じゃあ見ましょう。はい、7章です。はい、じゃあまず一節を読みます。ウジヤの子のヨタムの子、ユダの王アハズの時代、アラムの王レッツィンとイスラエルの王レマリルヤの子ペカが戦いのためにエルサレムに登ってきたが、これを攻めきれなかった時のことである。はい、その時にちょっと背景を考えましょう。イスラエルは2つに分かれているでしょう。北イスラエルは基本的に廃墟している、神様から離れていた神の民だけど、信仰から完全にほとんど 離れていった状態でした。南のユダは基本的に忠実の方ですけど、でもその中のリーダーたち、その王様アハズも大変この世を求めているようになりましたので、神様から離れていたけど、ユダの中に正しい人たちがまだまだいましたので、イザヤは神様の御言葉をそういう状態で予言しました。しかしユダは大変だった。なぜなら北王国、そのイスラエルの上の方とシリアが連合して、その南のユダに攻めていた。で、ある町々を征服して奪い取ったので、その南のユダ、アハズ王は大変心が揺れていた。彼はどうしましょう、どうしようと思ってた。イスラエルとシリアが敵となって、そして東の方にアッシリア、その残酷な帝国がもう世界ぐらいを支配するぐらいに広がっている。どうしようどうしようと心に悩んでいた。ちょうどその状態にイザヤ預言者はアハゾのところに行った。アハゾは悪い王様だったけど、イスラエルユダの王だから、神様の民の支配者の役割があったために、神様は彼に話しました。で、このように言いました。見てください、4節。彼に言え、木を確かに持ち落ち着いていなさい。恐れてはならない。あなたはこれら二つの、燃える木切れの燃えさし、アラムの烈焰とレマルヤの子の燃える怒りに心を弱らせてはならない。アラムはエフライム、すなわちレマルヤの子供にあなたに対して悪事を企てて、我々はユダに登ってこれを脅かし、脅かし、これを攻め入って我が者とし、食べあるの子をその王にしようと言っているが、神である主はこう言われる。それは起こらない。それはありえない。アラムの頭はダマスコ。そのダマスコの頭は烈焰だから。エフライムは65年のうちに打ちのめされて、一つの民ではなくなる。エフライムの頭はサマリア。そのサマリアの頭がレマルヤの子だから、あなた方は信じなければ固く立つことができない。で、もう一つの予言が14節にあります。それゆえ主は自らあなた方に一つの印を与えられる。見よ、少女が身ごもっている。そして男の子を産み、その名をインマヌエルと呼ぶ。この子は悪を退けて善を選ぶことが知る頃まで牛乳と蜂蜜を食べる。それはその子が悪を退けて善を選ぶことを知る前に、あなたが恐怖を抱いている二つの王の土地が見捨てられるからだ。はい。主はあなた方とあなたの民とあなたの父の家に、エフライムがユダから離れた日以来、まだ望んだことのない日々をもたらす。それはアッシリアの王だと書いています。 OK。 ということで、神様はユダの王に慰めました。あなたは何を恐れているか。イスラエルを恐れている？ イスラエルの王国、その首都はサマリア、そのリーダーはペカ、レマルヤの子ペカ、その人はただの人間だよ、ただの人間です。その人はもう一瞬いなくなる。実はよく読んだら第1列王記15章と16章、あ、ごめんなさい、第2列王記15章と16章にそのイスラエルの王とダマスコで支配しているレツィンという王は二人とも殺された。神様、それはその子供がもうね、幼稚園ぐらいの多分2、3歳ぐらいまでにそうなると神様は言いました。そしてあと65年にアッシリアというものがやってきて、その国々自体がなくなる。だから恐れるなというメッセージです。またこれから説明します。Okay, so, in English. Now, we're going to look today, at Christmas from the perspective of two of the prophecies that were given, in the book of Matthew at Christmas time. The thing is, we need to understand that Christmas was a difficult time. It was a politically difficult time, a socially difficult time. A time not so different, really, from this year in our difficulty in the world today. And so I want to look at what it meant in those days, what it meant in the time that the prophecy was given, and what it means for us. This year, people have been put in an unbelievably hard situation. 1 year ago, people were going everywhere. You know, one of my students, every month he was in another country. He was, you know, every holiday he had planned and whatever, and now for the last 12 months, every week he comes here and I'm bored, I have nothing to do. You know, I'm so depressed. I want to go here, I want to go there, and he can't. Other people, it's business. A year ago, the tourism industry was booming. Japan was flooded with Chinese people, lots of tourist money. Nara and Kyoto were so crowded. Now, it's gone. And people who worked in those industries, many of them lost their jobs. And what are we going to do? There was going to be an Olympics. It was cancelled. Now they hope there'll be an Olympics, and nobody can tell what will happen tomorrow. Nobody can tell what will happen in a month. It's a time of terrible uncertainty in the world. This pandemic has changed medicine. It's changed industry. It's changed the economics. It's changed politics. Not only that, we have dictators like Xi and Kim Jong-un and Putin getting more and more powerful in their own way, and the countries around are wondering what's going to happen. America has had a turbulent political year. England is leaving Europe. There's so much uncertainty. But that is exactly the kind of society that Jesus entered. Jesus entered the Roman Empire. He entered a time just like that. You had Herod, you had the Sadducees, the Pharisees, you had the Roman Empire. People, especially the Jews, they were caught in between all these competing powers, and they had no hope. It was very, very similar to the time that Isaiah lived in. And in that time, Jesus was born. But there were two prophecies about Jesus' birth. One of them is the prophecy of the virgin birth and Jesus being called Emmanuel. The other prophecy is in the book of Micah, and that is the prophecy which talks about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And the reason I want to talk about those today is because if we look at that society that Isaiah lived in, and we look at the society and the culture and the times that Jesus lived in, they were exactly the same. And then if we compare that with today, we find the same situation now. So we can understand how Christmas applies to us. And it's much more than, the Christmas carols and Santa Claus and all of that. This is really serious. It's very world-impacting, even in a political sense. And there's a lot of things that we need to recognize about Christmas here. So, first of all, I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 7. Let's look at Isaiah 7. In the days of Ahaz, verse 1, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Assyria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount and attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out and meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jeshub your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, Be careful, be quiet, don't fear, and don't let your heart be faint because of these two smouldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria and Ephraim, the son of Remaliah, has devised evil against you, saying, Let us go against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tavil as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, It shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in your faith, you will not be firm at all. And the Lord said to Ahaz, Ask a sign of the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as the heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be destroyed. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people, upon your father's house, such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. So let's understand the situation quickly. You have Judah and Israel, the backslidden northern kingdom, the semi-faithful southern kingdom. And then we have above that, Syria. Syria is kind of always in some kind of conflict with Israel. And then beyond Syria, there's this world power, the brutal Assyrian Empire, which looks like it's going to come and take over everything. Ahaz was worried because Israel and Syria had made a conspiracy against them and had come down and taken already some of the northern towns, a bit like how, you know, the China Sea countries are afraid of China. And so they have no confidence, they have no stability in their life. What's going to happen? We don't know. And Isaiah comes in at that point and he says, don't worry. Why? Because you're worried about Syria. Where's the capital of Syria? One town, Damascus. And who's the leader of Damascus? One guy. His name is Rezin. He's a man. Why are you worried about one man? What can one man do to you? Because if you read in the book of 2 Kings, chapters 15 and 16, you'll see that within a very short time, that man's going to die. And you're worried about the northern kingdom of Israel? The northern kingdom of Israel, this capital is Samaria, and the leader of it is Rezin, the son of Remaliah. Pekah, the son of Remaliah. He's a man, just a man, nothing more. And if you read again in 2 Kings 15 and 16, within a very short time, he was going to die. God was going to remove them. And so he says in the case of Samaria, if you don't have faith, you won't stand at all. If you're not going to stand before God in righteousness, God will not allow you to stand at all. The message to Ahaz was, don't worry, because I'm going to come in and I'm going to change the situation. Now, when we compare this with the time of Jesus, we'll see the same pattern, which we'll just talk about now. Hi, so stay. Mukashi no 紀元前600年のパターン。忠実なユダがあります。不忠実なイスラエルがあります。異端のシリアがあります。そして力強いアシリアが全てを支配しそうな状態。ユダが恐怖していた。けど、イザヤは彼らに心配するな。あなたが恐れているのはただの人間で、神様はその人たちを片付けることができる。 あのその時の症状が、身ごもって赤ちゃん産みます。その子供の名前はイマヌエル。イマヌエルの名前の意味は神様は私と共にいるという意味です。神様は私たちと共にいる。その状態はちょうどイエス様の状態と同じでした。あのイエス様の状態にあのヘロデがありました、いました。そして北の、まあ、イスラエルは大幅あの 不道徳、まあ、不忠実なあの民でした。でその民を支配するためにローマが入ってきた。その時にあのイマヌエル、神様は人間となりました。その時にあの少女が身ごもってマリアは子供を産みました。でその子供は本当に私たちと共にいる神様でした。はい、あもうちょうど同じパターンです。だからイザヤの日にあったことはまたちょうどイエス様の日にありました。でその中で神様の約束はイマヌエル、そしてあのその恐れているものはすぐに亡くなる、すぐにもう子供が良いものと悪いものを区別できない間にあなたが恐れている人たちはいなくなる。じゃあヨセフとメリーが誰を恐れていたでしょう。ヘロデ。だから彼らはエジプトに逃げなければならなかった。けどしばらくの間、まあ2年3年わからないですけど、多分それぐらい、天使がエジプトでヨセフに現れた。もう大丈夫、帰りなさい、あなたが恐れたものはなくなった、ヘロデがなくなった。でイエス様とを連れてあのイスラエルにも戻りました。じゃあ65年後にイザヤに言われた、まあイザヤがはずに言いました、アッシリアがやってくる、そしてあなたが恐れている国がなくなる、国でなくなる。その通りイエス様が生まれてからじゃあ70年後でローマがやってきてイスラエルは国でなくなる。だからもう本当に同じパターンです。本当に同じパターン。だからそのイザヤの時代に与えられた約束とイエス様の時代に与えられた約束は同じもの。じゃあ私たちはどのように解釈したらいい。この時代に私たちもまあ、ね、国のリーダーを恐れている人もいます。まあみんなではないけど、経済で誰が支配しているか恐れている、どうなるか分からない。神様は私たちに今同じ約束を与えている。その約束は何でしょう。一つ、神様はすぐにその状態を変えることができます。すぐに、もう一瞬に全てを変えることができます。でも神様は永遠の計画があります。まあミカ書の方を見てください。ミカ4章、ごめんなさい、ミカ5章にしました。ミカ5章、2節ですけど、ミカ5章2節、ミカは興味深い、イザヤとちょうど同じように言っています。でもミカ5章2節に、ベツレヘムエフラテよ、あなたはユダの氏族の中であまりにも小さい、だがあなたから私のためにイスラエルを治める者が出る。その出現は昔から、永遠の昔から定めている、と書いています。もうちょっと言ったら4節、彼は立って主の力と彼の神主の皆の意向によって群れを飼うそして彼らは安らかに住もう。安らかは平安で、それはイエス様は平安をもたらすために来た。今や彼の威力が地の果ての果てまで及ぶからだ。イエス様、平和は次のようにしてくる。 アシリアが私たちの国に来て私たち の, あの宮殿を踏みにじるとき、私たちには対抗して7人の牧師、8人の指導者を立てると書いてます。面白い。イザヤ2章に主の山神の家に登ろうを教えてくださるその予言があります。それは2章。7章にイエス様が少女に生まれてインマヌエルと言われるようになります。ミカ4章に全く同じ予言があります。主の山神の家に登ろうを教えてくださるそして次の5章にベツレヘムで生まれる。その時の神殿は汚れたものです。ですけどこの予言全部合わせてみるとどうなるか分かります。やっぱりクリスマスは最後の警告でした。クリスマスは危篤状態の宣言です。イスラエルはもうなくなる。悪いリーダーは今のうちにいなくなる。神様の永遠の計画、ここで永遠、昔の永遠、昔の永遠から、永遠の昔から、イエス様の永遠の性質、そして永遠の計画が絶対になる。私たちがそれに頼れば、もう全てが成功です。イマヌエル。イマヌエルは神様と共にいる。じゃあ、どうなっても神様と共にいるなら全てがうまくいきます。クリスチャンはローマ帝国の中で暮らせなければならないけど、神様と共にいたから、例えば彼らは宣教師であらゆるところに行っても、例えば彼らは奴隷として自分の主人に仕えても、例えば彼らは殉教者でライオンに食べさせられても、神様と共に最後までいましたので、神様は全ての一歩一歩を守ってくださいました。そして永遠の命に受け入れられました。神様の永遠の計画が成り立てた。神様と共にいる。だからどうなっても大丈夫。今の時期も同じです。どれがあっても、何があっても、どんな状態になっても、神様と共にいるなら大丈夫です。アッシリア人が私たちの地に入ってきたら、じゃあ7人の牧師と8人の何と書いてた、なんか面白いこと書いてたけど、あの指導者を立てる。まあ、あの伝道者の章には何も分からない時に、あの全ての都市を一つのところにするな、7つとか8、8つのことに分けましょう。どうなるか分からないから、誰が何が用いられるか、何が活躍するか、彼はまあ経済的に言ってたけど、でも霊的にそれは私たちのことです。ローマが入ってきたら7人伝道師、牧師、手伝い、祈る、取りなし、いろんなあの精霊の賜物がいるんです。あらゆるあの人たちがいる。その中に殉教者もいます。証しを自分の血によってする人もいます。成功する人もいますけど、私たちは何に召されても神様の証しをその場でもできる。ヨセフとメリーはヘロデの死を今のうちに見ました。彼らは何があっても神様と共にいました。で、一世代後でイスラエル、その神様を求めなかった国が全部あの支配されました。ローマに征服されて滅びました。この世はそうなります。私たちは今人を怖がっているのか、中国人は C さんを怖がっているか、韓国人はあの北朝鮮はキムさん怖がっているのか、それはただの人間を恐れるな。なぜなら神様は御心ならその人は一瞬に倒すことができますけど、永遠の計画があります。で、その永遠の計画によってその国自体が国でなくなる日が来る。しかし神様はその中の忠実なものを救います。それはクリスマスのメッセージで。じゃあ、あのイエス様の時代にその7人と8人は誰でしょう。まあ、イエス様の誕生でやってきた人たち、東から来た博士たち、彼らは 何をイエス様にあげようかなと思ってたでしょ。まあ、博士はだいたいね、深く学ぶけど、人間関係とか具体日常のことはあまりよくないね。どんなプレゼント買ったらいいかわからないけど、でも彼らは結局選んだものはイエス様の一生を表しました。イエスは王様だから黄金、イエス様は祭司だから入香、イエス様は亡くなるために生まれましたのために持つ役、死体にかける持つ役をあげました。彼らは分かったのか、多分分からなかったと思います。まあ救い主王、イスラエルの王、それぐらいは分かったと思いますけど、彼の詳しいことは分からなかったかもしれないけど、でも聖霊は彼らの判断を導きました。神様と共にいる、そういうことでしょう。あなたも聖霊に導かれて、結局分からない時でも正しくするように導かれます。その信仰を持ってください。羊飼いたちは忠実に羊を見守って坂に座っていた。彼らはメッセージを聞いて、救い主は生まれた、彼らは、はあ、礼拝しに行こう。突然天の伴奏が開かれて、もう全ての天使が彼らと共に礼拝していた。だから私たちもう弱い者の礼拝は素晴らしい、神様にふさわしい礼拝に変わります。私たちの小さな力でも神様の力強い奉仕をもたらすことができます。それはクリスマスの意味。だから周りの状態は恐れるな、周りの人たちを恐れるな、神様は一瞬にそれを変えることができます。神様の永遠の計画があるから、結局その国がなくなるけど、神様は私たちと共にいる。そのために活躍する、聖霊にあって成功します。私たちは神様の御国を地上でもたらすことをするでしょう。クリスマスはこの世に対して既得状態の宣言ですけど、私たち信じる者には素晴らしい約束、神様は私たちと共にいる、永遠のものは私たちと共にいる、今に全ては変わります。はい、じゃあ I think we got up to we explained the first point. So going back, there's only 2 points in this one. So we looked at the time of Isaiah. We got Israel, Judah at the bottom, Israel and Syria have joined together. Assyria is over the hill preparing to take over everything. And of course the people in Judah were afraid, just like we are afraid. We've got the coronavirus, we've got the economic depression, we've got, you know, all kinds of unknowns. And we're afraid. What to do? What's going to happen? We don't know. In such a situation, Isaiah gave this prophecy that in a second, in a short manner of time, everything will change. Because those two kings you're worried about, they're going to go. What is Remaliah? What is Rezin? What is Pekah? They're just people. God can take them away in a second, and He will. And even before that child was just a few years old, they were gone. And then, within 65 years, Assyria had come in and removed Israel from being a nation. So what happens in the time of Jesus? Well, in the time of Jesus, we have exactly the same pattern. When Jesus was born, who was Mary and Joseph fearing? They were fearing King Herod, and they should fear him. He came in and killed a whole town worth of kids. But the angel said, don't fear him, he's just a person. I'll get rid of him. Go to Egypt. And so they went to Egypt, and within, how long was it? 2 or 3 years? Something like that? He was there. And the angel said, the one you're fearing, Herod the Great, he was called. He was Herod the Dead. He was no longer able to do anything to Jesus. And God changed the situation, just like that. In Isaiah's case, it was 65 years later that Assyria would come. In the Roman Empire case, it was about... Actually, when was the siege, Stephen? 67? 66? 63. Oh, 63. Oh, there you go, 63. So it was pretty much the same amount of time, because Jesus was born perhaps 2 or 3 BC, according to most people's estimation. So it was roughly the same amount of time later that Rome came in and did what Assyria had done to Israel. Rome came in and did to Israel again. So the person they were fearing was gone in a matter of years, and the country that was oppressed, that was not following God, was gone in a generation. It was exactly the same thing. And the whole thing was God's plan. Now, that's not a good thing for Israel. It's not a good thing for the world. All these, they're troubles. I'm not saying they're not troubles. But this is the promise of God, that if they don't have faith, they're not going to stand. But if you have faith, you will stand. The name of this child is called Emmanuel. That means God with us. So whatever happens, God is with you. If the economy is good, God is with you. Be careful. If the economy is bad, God is with you. Don't worry. I mean, you should be careful, but don't worry about the bad economy. If there's a pandemic, God is with you. If we have persecution and we're killed for our faith, God is with us, even in that. For the believer, God is with you is the greatest promise of all. Because what happens around us will change, whether it's 2 years, whether it's 7 years, or whether it's 1,000 years. It will change. But if God is with us, His presence in our life will never change. Now, on top of that, there is the prophecy of Micah. So I want you to look with me at Micah chapter 5. Now, it's interesting. God has put these two prophecies together, and He's linked them together in a nice way, because in Isaiah 2, just before the virgin birth prophecy, we have the song, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And then it goes on to say, but God's going to humble you. He's going to bring down the proud, and He's going to shake until everything that is exalted will be brought down. And then we have the Jesus virgin birth prophecy. In Micah chapter 4, we have exactly the same prophecy. In chapter 4, word for word from Isaiah, "Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God. He will teach us of His ways, we will walk in His paths," etc. And then it says, "But you're going to go to Babylon, and I'll redeem you from there. I'm going to humble you, but I'm going to redeem you from there." And then, immediately following that, we have the Bethlehem prophecy. And so these are put together for a good reason. Let's look at Micah 5:2. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days," meaning from eternity. He's from eternity. And then in verse 4, talking about Jesus, "He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." Notice that in the midst of all this trouble, Jesus is keeping his people and they will be secure. And the ends of the earth, Christians in Japan and everywhere. "And he shall be their peace." He's the Prince of Peace. Now look, when the Assyrian comes into our land, or when the Roman Empire comes into Israel, or when the Antichrist arises and takes over in our time and treads down our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men, it says. What does this mean? Well, we know that God is with us. That's the first prophecy. And we know that the second part of that prophecy was, it's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen quickly. What does Micah add to our prophecy here? He tells us that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, the smallest of the nation, smallest of the towns. He is not going to come in as a great, powerful guy. He's coming in as a small, weak baby. "Blessed are the weak. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Jesus works through the small things. And he says, he's from eternity. He has an eternal plan. He doesn't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or next year. He knows what's going to happen at the end of time. He knows the whole flow of history. and he knows how to provide for us in every situation. He knows what he wants us to do in this situation. He knows the ministry he's called us to in good times and in bad times. So God has an eternal plan, and even if we don't understand it, even if we don't see it, we can trust it. And finally, when the enemy comes in, God will raise up the 7 and the 8. In Ecclesiastes it says, when things are uncertain, don't invest in one thing. Solomon uses the same expression. He says, divide your things between 7 and among 8, because you don't know how it's going to go. And that's the way it is here. There's not one Christian who can answer and solve this problem. God has 7 and 8. He gives to one the ability to teach, and to one the ability to help, and to one the ability to pray, and to one the ability to travel, and to one the ability to work. There's a job, a spiritual ministry for everyone, and that's the way God works. It's always the same. What happened in the time of Jesus when the professors came from the East? They bought gold and silver and myrrh. I've known a few professors in my life and a few scholars. Usually scholars are very bad at dealing with people. They're very good at studying, but they're not very good when it comes to getting on with people. And they're probably the last person in the world I would get to choose a present for a baby. What would you buy a baby? Oh, I don't know. Well, they got gold and frankincense and myrrh. But you know what? Their choice was exactly right, because it characterized Jesus' life. He was to be a king, he was to be a priest, and he was to be the sacrifice for sin. Gold represents Jesus as the king. Incense, frankincense, represents the incense burned by the high priest who goes to God on our behalf. Jesus is the high priest who makes the sacrifice for our behalf, and Jesus is the sacrifice. Myrrh is an oil that you put on a dead body. That's what it was used for. And so Jesus was born to die for our sins. Now, I'm sure that these professors from the East, these magi from the Median Empire originally, I'm sure they didn't know all that. They probably had some idea that he was the Messiah, that he would be the king. They probably didn't know the details of his ministry. And yet, their choice was the right one. And that's the way it is with us. We don't know. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Where should I work? I don't know. How will I, invest? Or how will I spend my time in the next couple of years? I don't know. I mean, I can't help you with any of those questions. But if God is with you, and if you're keeping your relationship with him and listening to him, you can be confident that you will make the right decisions, because God is with you. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus said, when they bring you up before governors and kings, don't plan what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words in that time to say. We have to live with that faith that today God is going to give me just what I need. And when I have to make a decision, I can trust that God will give me the right wisdom. And I might make a mistake. All right. Maybe I wasn't listening. Maybe God will teach me something else. But we can have the confidence that God will guide us. When those shepherds saw the angel appear and said, the Messiah has been born in David's town, go and worship him. And the shepherds said, all right, let's go and worship. I mean, shepherds on a hill, what were they? They weren't dressed in royal clothes. They weren't dressed to visit a king. They were probably smelt like sheep. But so did Jesus, because he was in a barn. But when they went there, the whole heavens opened up, and all the angels started singing, and their worship, as feeble as it was mixed with the worship of the whole heavenly choir of angels, thousands of them. Imagine that. And so when we go to serve God in our little way, God backs us up with an amazing power. It's not our power, it's our faith. It's not our ability, it's our faith. It's not our success, it's God's Spirit in us that makes our ministry valid and successful. And so this is what it means. When the enemy comes in, God will be there, empowering us by the Spirit, this one in this way, that one in that way. And we will stand, because our shepherd will be strong for us. So, that is the prophecy. そのために、私たちは感謝しなければならない。その予言のために。二つはありました。ちょうどこの世の時代にイザヤとマリアとジョセフが住んでいた。イマニュエル。すぐに全てが変わる。少女が生まれて、少女に子供が生まれる。私たちは今それをしっかり自分の約束として受け入れましょう。どんなことがあっても神様はすぐそれを変えることができます。神様は私たちと共にいます。で、ミカの予言によって神様の永遠の計画があるから、今は悪い時代から良い時代に関わらず、神様は私たちの良い強い羊飼い、私たちはその中で霊的な力によって神様に耐えられている奉仕を耐え忍ぶ、成し遂げることができますので、ある人にはこのように、別の人は別のように奉仕しますけど、神様は私たちの小さな努力、小さな進化を持って大きな力強い結果をもたらすことができます。クリスマスはその約束です。この世に対して既得状態、私たちに対して生まれた祝いです。では祈りましょう。 Let's pray. 天のお父様、感謝します。本当にあなたは私たちを救いました。この世に来て謙遜のままでこの世に入りました。私たちの罪を取り除くために来ました。神様は、もし御心ならこの世を今でも終わらせることができますけど、あなたの愛のために私たちの罪を耐え忍んでいます。でもあなたの定めた日が来ます。どうかそれまでに私たちの心を用意してください。今あなたに使えるように助けてください。感謝します。本当にイエス様が生まれたために私たちはなんと恵まれているでしょう。感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。